Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. It is hour three on a Monday, the 20th day of September, 2021. Great to have you all riding along with us. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you. And we say thank you for joining us every morning. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000 or join us on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, 248-951-2176, 248-951-2176. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well, Comcast Channel 900 and BCSN on Buckeye Broadband. Find our podcast, listen back to anything you may have missed on demand by visiting SoundCloud, Google, Apple, Spotify, and, of course, the iHeartRadio app. Danica Halen is at Dan in the studio. Ryan Elke is at RyanL_Key, and I'm Anthony Bellino at AC Bellino. Let's get to who do we have on the phone over there, Dan?
Dave calling in from Hudsonville.
Dave in Hudsonville. Dave, good morning to you, my friend. Welcome to the program. How are you, partner?
Hey, good morning, Anthony. Hey, just want to say thanks and enjoyed your conversation with Shep. And wanted to go back to that conversation with Okuda and Pleasant or even with Izzo. And what most people don't understand is there's a difference between task or responsibility conflict and relational conflict. You know, and the thing about it, those guys like Izzo has relationships with his players. They can come back at him, and they do come back at him like that as well. But people confuse that. They're going over task or responsibility conflict. You know, when Izzo gets mad at a player, it's because, hey, we coached that and you didn't do it the right way. Or Pleasant telling Okuda to do your job, that's about what they've covered. It's not a pop quiz in high school that they didn't understand. They know what's supposed to happen there. They're just telling them to get it done. And because they have a relationship with them, they can go do that. So people confuse that all the time. And that shouldn't be confused, but there's a big difference between relational conflict and task conflict. And then the second thing on Stafford, you know, I love Stafford, and I'm happy for him. But the difference was, much like if he was a race car driver or a jockey in Detroit, he was riding a horse or driving a car that just couldn't ever get to the winner's circle, no matter what he did. And now at least he's got a chance to do that, and I'm happy for him.
Well, that's a fantastic call. I love that. That theory and idea in principle of, you know, relationship conflict versus task conflict. I think that is so vitally important that people understand. And, you know, guys like Steve Smith, you know, Steve Smith's a wide receiver. Those guys are divas. Unless they're getting 10 targets a game, none of them are ever happy. They're always complaining about something. And let's be honest, they're just icing on the cake. You got to build your team up front. You got to have the substance or your team's not going to win. We've had plenty of teams here in Detroit. We've been really good at the wide receiver position and not very good anywhere else. And what did that get us? Not much. So I don't really put too much into what Steve Smith is saying from the NFL Network studios, nowhere even close to Allen Park. That doesn't bother me at all. And for the fan base, I think you're absolutely right. They confuse it. I think a lot of people just don't, they've never had that in their lives, right? Whether they were coached differently when they played sports growing up, or maybe, you know, they didn't play a whole lot, now their kid's involved. And so anytime a coach gets in their kid's rear end about something, wants to put a foot up behind it, you know, you get what I'm saying.
But well,
they get really like rigid with it. They don't know how to necessarily handle that. And their kid doesn't know how to handle it.
You want to get Izzo going sometime, talk about accountability. Because what he'll say is our society does not hold people accountable anymore. And his is more like compassion and accountability. He cares about his players unconditionally, but he's going to hold you accountable. And that's what he says society needs more of.
And I wonder if that style of coaching, because anybody who's ever played for him absolutely loves him. I mean, the alumni come back all the time. Guys talk about their time at Michigan State. And it does make me wonder a little bit about the decommitment from Imani Bates and him choosing to go to Memphis and Penny Hardaway and how that, because not everybody is going to be, not everybody can handle that side of Tom Izzo. Some guys say that's exactly what I needed, and some people just cannot handle a coach that's going to take you to task regularly. And it's very interesting of those who do go and their experience, and those who maybe shy away from that style of coaching. But it's effective, and part of it is too. I think Tom Izzo knows every single guy on his roster, and part of being a really good coach is understanding how to coach that individual player. And Tom Izzo allowing some of his players to then kind of the elder statesman, he puts a lot of responsibility on them to coach up those younger guys and to take those leadership roles during games. So that's fascinating.
You just hit on it, because when Tom's teams are the best, he'll always say a player-led team is far better than a coach-led team. When he gets to the point when guys are holding each other accountable and it's not the coaching staff, then he's really got something. And that's exactly what he shoots for. You're exactly right.
Amen, Dave, man. My friend, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us. We appreciate you, partner. Have a great Monday, okay? All right.
I think he hung up.
He agreed. He was like, you know what? I am going to go have a great Monday. Monday is the best day of the week, folks. I honestly believe that. People are like, oh, you know, I got the Sunday scaries. I got a case of the Mondays. Monday should be the best day of the week because you get to set the tone for the rest of the week. Whatever your week is going to be, you can really kick it off. Get off to a hot start in this opening drive, right? You got seven possessions for the week. Make this score on this first possession today. Love Mondays.
Thanks, Anthony. We all needed that.
Did you need that? Is a little rah-rah speech this morning make you feel good?
I'm not feeling. I feel great. I don't have anything to do today. The real problem is that we all have to stay up really late and be up really early tomorrow.
So we all have to strategize. That's we got to do a really good job of strategizing because I stayed up way too late last night. Like I was up probably until about 12:30 watching Scott Van Pelt SportsCenter. I hate that it starts at night. I do. I wish he was on in the morning. I would much rather have that SportsCenter on than anything else on my television. I asked a question the other day, what sports show? I said, what TV show, basically? And I meant sports programming, so some people were responding with, like, Deadliest Catch and the most random stuff. But what's a sports TV program that you watch outside of live events that you really enjoy? We got a couple Good Morning Footballs. A lot of people, though, love SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And, you know, I make this claim all the time that's what I want for my morning sports center. I want that. I don't need a debate show or a talk show. Like, give me the highlights, give me the scores, give me the stats. That is what I am very interested in. Couple texts coming in. What if it's true Aaron Rodgers is sabotaging his team? The Lions have a chance then tonight. That is true. It's a wild, outlandish claim. But does perhaps maybe – okay, so you look at Aaron Rodgers. They lose the NFC Championship game, and he's a little bit upset over the direction of the organization and some of the personnel moves and this, that, and the third because he's always upset, right? But his record in the NFC Championship games isn't good. He does have a Super Bowl, so that kind of covers everything up. But with the amount of times that they've made it there, what's his overall record? Is he 1-4, like 1-5 in NFC Championship games? Like, I'm sorry if that's not good enough. But then to spend your whole offseason traveling around, hosting Jeopardy, doing all of these other things outside of football, I can't knock you for wanting to take a break, right? I really can't because there is a time in everyone's life where you need to step away. But then I look at Tom Brady and I'm like, you know what? No, you got to grind it out, man. You got to be a jackhammer while you have the opportunity, like nights, weekends, days, like all day, every day, 7 days a week. Like that's what you got to be locked in. And I look at Tom Brady as a good example of that. Now he does have, I believe he has a second home in Costa Rica, which is the most random country to have a second home in.
NFL players will take these breaks. It's just not all over social media or on national television.
Yeah. And I wonder about that with Aaron Rodgers. And you look at what Tom Brady does in the offseason. It's like, all right, well, that's why Tampa Bay's 2-0 right now. And that's why Tom Brady's never lost to Matt Ryan. And now he gets to go play his first game.
But last year, Tampa Bay got their ass kicked week one, lost by 11 points. Were we sitting there saying, Tom Brady's career's over, shouldn't have moved from Tampa Bay?
Were we? No. Were other people? Yeah, people. You know,
exactly.
Monday,
we go through
ebbs and flows.
Week one overreactions all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And I do believe that we'll find out more about this. But if the Packers get off to like a 1-4 start or 1-5 start, I think it's a legitimate question to ask. Like, maybe we should have been focused on football. And by we, well, I mean you.
Even last year, the Packers, their first quarters, they'd get up 14-0, 17-0, and score like 27 points total in a game.
It's an hour-to-hour league.
So, again, it's just because he had headlines this offseason that now Aaron Rodgers just doesn't care about football. It's like, no, he had a riff with his employer, which everyone has.
And then he took it public.
Right. Tom Brady would never. Did Tom Brady just leave New England?
Just in the middle of the night. Bye, everybody. We'll step aside. We got a couple more texts to get to. Plus, we're going to hop in to our NFL Week 2 scoreboard and our Monday Night Football preview. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked right here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
I'm Jennifer Joseph. I'm an emergency medicine physician. So COVID has changed the way we do things in the emergency department. It's made us incredibly busy. We've been busy for 18 months, and we're battling not only a deadly virus, but we're also battling to protect ourselves and our communities by being vaccinated. I'm frustrated by the fact that this has become a partisan issue. As a conservative, I know that being vaccinated is the right thing and should not be politically driven.
It's a personal decision, as with any medical decision. Questions are important. You should ask your doctor any question that you have and then make an informed decision as to what's best. The vaccine is safe. My children are vaccinated. I would not have vaccinated them if I did not feel it was safe. It's your decision. Make the right decision. Get vaccinated for yourself and your own safety.
Learn more at myvaxdecision.com. Sponsored by Small Business Association of Michigan.
Why drive to the casino when you can enjoy the excitement of Vegas-style games and jackpots right from your phone? Download the Twin Spires Casino app now and you'll unlock 24 hours of risk-free casino play up to $500 plus 250 free spins. Just register using the promo code FREEDAY. Twin Spires Casino. Launch your 24-hour getaway today. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit twinspires.com. Must be 21 years of age and older and present in Michigan to bet. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117.
Bill Simonson here for the Van Andel Institute in downtown Grand Rapids. They're world-renowned for their cancer and Parkinson's research. And the Van Andel Institute's Purple Community is an extension to every community in Michigan and across America to raise awareness and money to help cancer and Parkinson's research. If you'd like to put together a Purple Community event where you live or where you work, go to purplecommunity.vai.org.
Mondays on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you by BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com and remember to download the BetMGM mobile app today.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Kaelin, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day. Danny Kaelin, Ryan Elke, I'm Anthony Bellino. Text us, use the keyword sports radio, send it to 21,000 or call us on the Meijer Supercenter guest line. Share any of your thoughts, opinions, anything you saw for this weekend that you absolutely loved. We're going to hop into the NFL here momentarily, but give us a dial on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, 248-951-2176, 248-951-2176 on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros, and of course, good morning to our television audience as well, Comcast Channel 900 and BCSN on Buckeye Broadband. And look, very, very busy week number two in that NFL schedule, but let's get to this text first. Come on, Shep, impressive win in between for a guy who was brought in and paid above and beyond to compete for Indianapolis 6 years ago when Harbaugh was brought in. Tucker has two more impressive road wins in 2 years. Michigan fans never get it. Hand out more passes than free tickets on Diet Coke cans. That comes from Freddie. When it comes to the Michigan win, I think that, yeah, like I, as someone who has been traumatized by teams that have come into the Big House and have won and shocked Michigan with some sort of ridiculous victory in the Big House, yeah, no, that game is exactly what I wanted it to be, and it felt boring, and it felt comfortable, and that's what I wanted from Michigan in a game against Northern Illinois. So, yeah, I mean, they did exactly what they're supposed to do. What did he say, 102 guys were able to take the field? Is that what he said, 102 guys checked in? That had to come from Chad, right? I wasn't able to find that that kind of statistic out there floating around. A little insider information there. I like that. But I don't think anybody's granting them a free pass. I don't think that beating Northern Illinois, a bad Washington team, and a team that is Western Michigan, and you know, two MAC teams, I don't think that beating those teams grants Michigan any sort of anything. I don't think anybody's giving them a pass. I think that Michigan fans are feeling good about a 3-0 start and beating teams that they're supposed to in ways that they were supposed to beat them. So I think if you're a Michigan fan, you could feel good about your start so far. That's fine. We knew the first 4 weeks of the schedule were nothing to write home about. You're going to take on Rutgers at home. You haven't had to go on the road yet. You've been at home for, you know, since last, what, winter, and you're going to have to go on the road to play a Wisconsin team that is ranked right now in Camp Randall, with the time to be determined. So whether it's a night game or a day game or whatever the case may be, we know what the, you know, Wisconsin was able to do over the last couple of years. So, hey, look, like we're fine. Nobody's granting anybody a pass, but you beat a team the way you were supposed to, and you look really good doing it. 63-10. So I'm not going to sit here and discount and discredit the effort of beating NIU the way that you're supposed to beat NIU. Oh, and by the way, they threw the football, which felt good. It was fun to watch. It was great to see Cade go 8 of 11 for 191 yards and stretch the field a little bit. Blake Corum carried the ball really well. Cornelius Johnson had three really nice catches, and one was a touchdown. Like, I am, like, nobody's granting a free pass because of a win over Northern Illinois. I don't think that's what Shep was saying.
What some Michigan fans are at, saying, like, okay, we've seen these games before of starting, beating the opponents you're just supposed to beat and handling them.
Mm-hmm.
The frustration with Harbaugh is winning games you're not supposed to. And you haven't had that opportunity yet.
So it's going to happen in 2 weeks.
Right. So I think some fans are like, why are we puffing our chests when this is what every, you know, weeks one through three are always with Harbaugh?
And here's my question then. Who would be puffing the chest right now? Like, I haven't seen Michigan fans acting outrageous. I haven't seen them talking ridiculous. I think we're all pretty well aware of who was on the docket. I think that we all have our questions after that Washington win.
Come on, Anthony.
Oh, I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious. Like, what have you seen? Has it been media? Has it been Twitter? Where you've
it's
seen
some
sort
Twitter,
of
and I'll throw State fans under the bus too, because they're saying like, oh, best team, but you know, claiming September Heisman's like we're fans in Ann Arbor. I mean, there's a nice September Heisman off on Twitter Saturday night between Michigan and Michigan State fans.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Can we just let those people enjoy? If they want to argue with each other on Twitter, can we just let them enjoy what they're watching? If they want to argue about Heisman's, like, go right ahead. Are you having fun? Like, are you enjoying watching your team play? You want to go crazy?
Yeah, I can
over
enjoy it without trying to build them up to something they may not be.
That's you.
It week by week.
You can do that, and I'll do the same. But Tim, who's driving down the road right now, and you know Tim's in Taylor. If Tim's like, yeah, we're 3-0, and I just looked at
3-0, we're going to beat Ohio State. Ohio State lost
this
the game.
Is the year.
Oh my
this
gosh!
Is the year.
Ohio State losing's our biggest win since '97. Oh no!
No, we've beaten Ohio State head to head since '97. But
does it feel like it?
Yeah, no, I would. Yeah,
Urban Meyer lost the game in the NFL. That's a win for Michigan fans.
We don't like Urban Meyer. He's now lost two games, in case you're keeping track at home. But these are things
that's
that,
about as many times you've won against Ohio State in 20 years, right?
Yeah, it's two and I don't even know what it is over the last since the turn of the century, since 2000. I'm not sure what the record is. It's two and something. It ain't good. Right? It's not good. No Michigan fan is going to say that it is. But there's nothing wrong with people finding their enjoyment over a 3-0 start or watching Urban Meyer go 0-2 in the league. What's wrong with that? Why can't they, you know, if a Michigan State fan wants to say Kenneth Walker should be in the Heisman conversation, it doesn't bother me. Go ahead. Talk about all you want. If it makes you feel better, if you're having fun in the first 3 weeks of the season, that's great. If your team's in the top 25 and you want to celebrate them, that's great. Go green, go white, go wherever you want to go and talk as much crap as you want to talk. It's fine. We got to, hey, one week to week, it's Rutgers for Michigan this week. They got to try to find a way to get a win against Rutgers, and then they got to go on the road to Wisconsin. If you lose to Rutgers, you're going to be singing a completely different tune. If you're Michigan State, you're 3-0. You got Nebraska this week, followed by Western Kentucky, a road trip to Rutgers, a road trip to Indiana. Mel Tucker's got to keep his guys locked in on Nebraska this week while the rest of us look at 7-0 going into Michigan. Because that's what we're going to do that. We've already done it once today. We'll do it again. We'll continue to do this, right? Because we're hoping that that is the outcome, right? We're hoping that Michigan State finds themselves undefeated and Michigan finds themselves undefeated going into Michigan State, right? Because as a Michigan fan, we have to turn our attention to Notre Dame. We have to turn our attention to Michigan State because there's a lot of rivalries here for Michigan. You know, Ohio State being priority number one, Notre Dame and Michigan State would be next up. And we can't beat Ohio State haven't been able to beat them. In the arms race of college football, we are drastically behind, especially in the recruiting. So it's like, all right, well, now we got Michigan State probably should that needs to be the focus now, because that's a game that, you know, we should win and we can win. So that's the reality of the situation. And people might not want to say that out loud. I'm comfortable saying it out loud because I'm a realist. I like to consider myself, you know, if I was going to have like a slogan for this show, the most fair and most honest, right? That's as honest as I can get it. Michigan State fans, like Miami, that should be their third loss of the season. The U, that logo, that brand is stronger than the product on the field. Michigan State went down there, beat up on them. Should you feel good about it? Absolutely. It's a road win. They had the number next to their name. You should feel great. It's a top 25 win on the road. Put it in the hash column for Mel Tucker. And when we look at this 3 years from now, we'll say, how many wins does he have against the top 25? Look at, he's got six road wins, let's say, against top 25 teams, right? And three top 25 non-conference road wins. We're not going to remember that Miami isn't any good. Like, that's just it's just what we do. We're not going to remember that. Is Northwestern any good? I sure as hell know Youngstown State isn't. But celebrate. Like, be happy.
You can be happy without trying to inflate every win to a championship.
That's what fans do, Ryan. That's what they do.
Yeah, and how many times have the fans been burnt by that?
Well, let them get burned. Don't touch the hot stove. We'll be back with more X's and Bros after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's FREDI, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
This is a message for any golfer listening right now across Michigan and even in the Northwest Ohio. Have you ever experienced the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, located less than an hour north of Grand Rapids? They have two 18-hole layouts, St. Ives and Tullymore. They have all the lodging to handle 200 to 400 people. You can find out more about golfing Tullymore and staying and playing at Tullymore at TullymoreGolf.com.
Back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network from Traverse City down to the Glass City, GR over to the Motor City. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning. Big thanks to our friend Big Al dropping by the studio, fixing some things. Our man Albert, he's always up first thing in the morning. God bless him. Thank you for your all your hard work, man. We appreciate you. Ryan Elke, Danny Kalen, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us. Text the keyword sports radio to 21,000 or hop on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, 248-951-2176, 248-951-2176. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well. Comcast Channel 900 and BCSN on Buckeye Broadband. Let's hop on the phone line. Let's get to that Meijer Supercenter guest line. That's where we're going to find Bill. Bill, good morning to you, my friend. How are you, partner? Happy Monday.
Tighten up.
Big win for the Titans, huh?
The Titans get it done again. And they did get it done again.
Impressive
coming
victory.
From way up front, coming from way behind.
It was a good win, though.
Just goes to show you, buddy, they have a lot of fight in them, buddy.
It also goes to show you that you got to get the ball to Derrick Henry with over 200 all-purpose yards yesterday. 35 carries for a 182, 6 catches for 55 yards. I mean, he was electric. 3 rushing touchdowns. Like, that's the way that they're going to win football games. And Tannehill, 27 to 40 for 347. Pretty good against a good Seattle team. So a very good win for the Titans. You should feel very good about that victory yesterday. That was huge.
I'll tell you what, I predicted that they were going to go over there and beat them, and they did.
Why didn't you share that with us, Bill? I would have wagered. Bill, if you were looking in the crystal ball, I would have wagered with you, my friend. What happened? Where was that phone call at on Friday?
Well, I should have called you on Friday.
You should have let me know. If you got a hunch and you're feeling good about it, you got to let me spread the wealth. I felt really good about Michigan State. I told everybody, take them against the U. Take them with the points. Take them on the money line, Bill. I wanted everyone to get paid this weekend. If you would have told me that Tennessee was going to beat Seattle, I would have taken Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, you know, on another note, I would like to get excited over the Vol victory, but I'm not because they haven't played anyone.
You're allowed to be excited, Bill. That's the biggest thing. No matter who your team plays that's on the schedule, you got a victory during the week. You didn't get upset. Nothing crazy happened. You know, you didn't have to stress out. Like, that's a win all by itself, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Pittsburgh, they beat Tennessee and they lose to Western Michigan. It just goes to show you football is a funny game.
Yeah, it's a and is Hooker, he's the guy moving forward at quarterback for you? Is no more Joe Milton? We done there?
Yeah, I believe probably Hooker is going to be probably going to be the starter, but nonetheless, I don't have a good feeling about this game against Florida, my good friend.
No, you shouldn't either. I'm sorry, Bill. I'm sorry this is going to happen to you.
Because I'll tell you, Florida came very close of upsetting Alabama.
That's the closest game Alabama has had during their 17-game winning streak right now. Like, they are.
Well, I'm going to address this to all the beautiful women that listens to your show, Anthony.
Oh,
close, but no Virginia Slim.
I like that. Virginia Slim, that's a good one. Bill in Tennessee, thank you for the call, partner. You have a wonderful Monday, all right?
Oh, you too, buddy.
Thank you. Oh, God bless him. I love the fact that, yeah, he's in Tennessee listening to us. That's fantastic. We got a couple of tweets coming in. And look, folks, Mark says, U of M football beat a bad team exactly what they were supposed to do one game at a time. Who the hell is Tulsa? Look, I understand that. I most definitely understand it. And I would much rather be Michigan or Michigan State taking out NIU or Youngstown the way that you're supposed to instead of struggling, because I know what that feels like. To struggle against bad teams, against teams that you were supposed to beat. And he said, your buddy's such a Michigan hater. I said, yeah, it's Fred, you big hater. He said, the truth hurts. Let's not forget why the coach was brought in. Let's see how long Ryan Day stays when he loses just one game a year. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. Now, whether or not, I don't think that Ohio State's actually thinking about firing Ryan Day. And I think that even thinking about that right now is crazy. It's crazy because you're never going to have. And maybe this is the death of Michigan, right? But I believe that Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. I do. I think he's a good coach. I think that they have struggled. They haven't beaten Ohio State. They, look up the record against the rivals and this, that, and the third. And did he do exactly what he was supposed to do? No. Is the program today in, you know, in decent spirits? Yes. Everything was going well in the revenge tour until Ohio State happened. But there were some good feelings. And I think that that's the biggest thing for Michigan fans that they're most concerned about is most recently the quote-unquote revenge tour and how good they felt then. And then the bottom getting pulled out and, you know, just falling through the floor. That's the reality of it. You know, these things hurt. By the way, the Lions are going to be wearing all white tonight on Monday Night Football. I actually love this idea, and we were talking a little bit about it in the break. I am a huge fan of their white top blue pant because the blue is a different blue. Like, it's like a lighter blue than what their the normal blue and blue top silver pant is. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I like the silver. I've been a Lions fan my entire life, right? And I just, outside of it being on the helmet, I don't know, you know, where it necessarily fits with the rest of the scheme. You know, when they brought out that blue pant and white top for the first time, was it 2 years ago? I was floored at how good that uniform looked because there was less silver involved. They had those all gray. Remember the all gray color rush? Oh, just awful. That was an awful looking jersey.
Gray is not a bright color, people. I don't know who decided that was the right choice.
That's a fireable offense. Who in the NFL office said, oh, we'll give the Lions gray? Why? I know that the people that were colorblind were really upset over colors? The Jets game. I get it. But, like, that's ridiculous. Why would you go all gray?
The white is really the way to go. I'm hoping
it's going to look awesome tonight.
I was telling you before, I don't want there to be there's a Nike symbols worth of blue on the pants. That's all I want. I want it all to be white. Just full white pants, no blue stripes on the sides.
Really? You wouldn't do a stripe down the side of the leg?
Oh, no. I think it would be sweet, just full white pants.
Okay. We'll have to.
And if
we'll
only
see.
The NFL allowed alternate helmets. Oh. And the Lions could go white helmet.
Oh, don't talk dirty to me. It's 8:42 in the morning.
Just shout out Eric Lloyd out in Grand Rapids who is tweeting that out.
Oh, yeah. Did he send that to us?
No, he works for one of the TV stations out in GR. But he goes, we could just have alternate helmets in the NFL.
Yeah, the fact that college they can have a new helmet every week, but the NFL can't, and the reason behind it is because because you break your helmet in or whatever. Like, come on. Come on. Grow up, Peter Pan. Like, let's go. You know, the white helmet would be awesome. That would be so good with the Blue Lion logo, the blue stripe. I don't even know if I'd put any silver on there. Maybe a little bit of silver on the
maybe
outline
silver
of the blue.
On the outline of the lion.
Oh, yeah. I'm good with that. I'm good. That sounds wonderful. You know what? Who do we call? You got anybody over there you can call?
Call Mel Tucker. Happen? He's good at uniform combos.
Yeah, they have looked sharp. That is for sure. I just the Lions, the white top, blue pant. The first time I saw that, I was floored. I cannot wait for Monday Night Football tonight. Lions and Packers. It's about to go down. The Green Bay Packers, a brutal loss in week number one. That looks even worse now. After what happened in New Orleans yesterday against Carolina. My goodness. Can we fight? You know what? Do we go full-blown Monday night? I think we go full-blown Monday night football. Let's do it. Let's just hop right into it. We're going to save a little bit of time to go through every game in the NFL. I guess we'll wait till all the games go final, and that means we have to wait through tonight. Gentlemen, first, most pertinent, important question. This is the poll question tonight for today. How are Lions fans going to view Monday night football? Are they going to take it in on the regular broadcast with Uncle Lou, Lewis Riddick, or are they going to flip over to Manning Night Football on the Manning Megacast? Dan, Ryan, how will you watch the game tonight?
I think what I'm going to have to do for this game is keep the regular ESPN feed up on the TV on mute and put the Manning volume on, like, the iPad.
Ooh.
Because watching the Manning view, like,
you miss some stuff.
The game was in the picture-in-picture a lot. And it's like, get more invested in this game to actually watch what's happening. So maybe I'll do a little dual screen.
Okay.
I can view what I want, but hear what I want.
Ooh, I like that. Dan, what say you? Manning cast or normal cast?
Well, I kind of want to hear Peyton and Eli talk about Aaron Rodgers, first of all. And then I want to hear, because you know they're going to talk about Matthew Stafford because of the Lions. So I'd love to hear what they want to say. But I was telling you guys a couple breaks ago, I want to hear if Lewis Riddick is going to say anything about the process of trying to get hired as the Lions general manager. I would love to hear if he's got any input or if he says anything about the Lions organization.
Very interesting. Very interesting. That is, to be determined, right? I mean, if he talks at all about the experience, if he talks about the hiring of Brad Holmes, you know, his evaluation of Brad Holmes as the GM, the assemblance of the staff there in Detroit, I'm still really excited.
I wonder, just thinking, Lewis, if he played with anybody that's on the coaching staff.
Probably everybody.
Right. Seriously.
At some point in his life, Uncle Lewis played with every single Detroit Lions coach. That would be fun. Maybe tonight they put together like a Lewis Riddick playing tree. You know, they do like coaches trees. Here's Lewis Riddick, and here's an entire sidelines of former NFL players that are now coaching. And Lewis, this is where he played with all of them at. That would be cool. I would be all in on that. All in on that. I think that's a great idea. You should probably call somebody and try to make that happen. So we need to call somebody on uniforms, and now we need to call somebody on, trying to get the Uncle Lou playing tree. Just a slight variance here in the old versus the new Monday Night Football. You know when you hear that noise, too, it's game time. What are you guys feeling in this game? Does Aaron Rodgers have the bounce back like he typically does? I mean, 38-3 to the Saints. They had to play that game in Jacksonville because of everything going on in New Orleans. Aaron Rodgers, he's the R-E-L-A-X. Like, this is what he does. He can throw a clunker out there and come right back and pound somebody. Hopefully, he threw a couple picks, no touchdown in the season opener. 35-point defeat, the most lopsided loss in any game Rodgers has ever started. He is the reigning MVP, and the Packers have gone 9-2 in A-Rod's last 11 home starts against the Lions. He's thrown 21 touchdown passes, only 4 picks in those games. Oh, my goodness. No Jeff Okuda. Achilles tendon, so it's Amani Oruwariye. And will we get to see a plethora of Ifeatu Melifonwu, the rookie third-rounder from Cuse? If so, that's a lot of youth out there against one of the most experienced, best quarterbacks in the game.
And that's not even talking about one of the best wide receivers in football, in Devontae Adams.
So good. Aaron Jones tonight. Big. Listen to this. Gian, my roommate, right? Gian's got DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. And the guy who's going up against had Tucker, the kicker from Baltimore, last night. And he's got Aaron Jones. And the game is 83-82 going into last night's contest. So I haven't checked. I didn't talk to him this morning to see what the score was, to see if he had checked it. He was already gone by the time I went to get my.
We all know he had checked it. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the first thing he did.
It's the first thing we all do. Don't lie.
Yeah. And I need to know exactly where he's at going
Justin
into this
Tucker
game.
Had 3 extra points and a field goal last night.
369 and 369. How long was the field goal?
In the 40s, I believe.
In the 40s. So that's probably 3 points for the kick. And then depending on how they score, that could have been a 7-point kick.
Right.
Oh, man. And he was really nervous. I said, the good news is, Hockenson and Swift, I mean, that's all Jared Goff really throws to. So you're in pretty good shape, and Swift on the ground. I gotta imagine we're going to see a lot of Jamal Williams. I just think that, that commentary about him not being wanted, I think that the Lions do give him a couple of extra carries tonight, especially if he's feeling good, they'll ride the hot hand.
Even seeing how they handled the running backs last week, Jamal Williams got the first few carries anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like they're – with Swift not being 100% to start the year, that they're like, all right, well, we have Jamal Williams here. Let's take advantage of him.
Good news for Lions. The Packers won't have their Pro Bowl outside linebacker Za'Darius Smith available for tonight. Matt LaFleur, the head coach, said on Friday that Smith was going on injured reserve to get more time to deal with the back issue that he has been having. So that's, because the Smiths are – that's a really underrated defensive team there.
By the way, yes. In Green Bay this evening, scattered thunderstorms, chance of rain, 90%.
Oh, boy. So a moist one in Lambeau, to say the least. 90% chance of rain?
That's what it says.
Oh, my God. It's a brutal forecast. All right. The Lions plus 425 on the money line. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I did take the Lions getting 11.5.
I think when we did our picks Friday, the line was at 10. So just remember that for as of now.
Oh, a little more scratch coming in on Green Bay. The people like Green Bay right now. I don't see, man, Lions keep it close. Do they win tonight outright?
No.
No. Come on, Anthony.
The fact that Ryan just said it so monotone.
They have three wide receivers. They have three wide receivers that are better than our best wide receiver. So,
and Tyrell Williams is out tonight, right?
Yeah, concussion protocol. Yeah. So he's got to have a padded practice.
This is before the season. It was all right. San Francisco going to be a tough game. It was. Green Bay Monday night in Lambeau. Great. Week three, Baltimore. Awesome. They just didn't look like
world beaters.
Like everything's fixed. Like they can run the ball and just put a running back there. They're going to
whoever they
yards.
Pick up off the couch.
So it's like I get being excited about a comeback attempt against the 49ers, but what gives you hope against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Outside of like, well, they looked bad last week. It's like, okay, has Aaron Rodgers ever really looked bad against the Lions? He's 17-5 career against the Lions.
The only time the Lions could ever win is when he's not playing. Remember we had that nice little win streak? It was a lot of Deshaun Kizer in there. He's a Toledo kid. Shout out to him.
Deshaun Kizer, Brett Hundley.
Oh, that's a good time to
and
beat up on
like
the Packers.
The wins where Aaron Rodgers has started as well, ones where either he got A, knocked out, or B, it's the last week of the season and their playoff spots locked up. And it's like, you go play a quarter, then it's our backup's turn.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough. I can't pick them to win outright. I can't touch the money line. But I will take the Lions and have taken the Lions getting 11.5. I think the rain in the forts, I think that we might actually see a decent, outside of the rain in the forts turn, because, Dan updating me on the weather is the only thing that has me a little bit concerned, because going into tonight, I was like, this could be a 42 kind of 35 sort of feel to it, right? A 35-28, keep it within a touchdown. I think that would be a good thing. But you got to hope that this
also,
secondary.
Also, just real quick, it makes me thankful for the roof at Ford Field.
It's always 70 and sunny inside Ford Field. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight. Be sure to vote on the poll, the Manning Cast or the Standard Broadcast. We want to know what you're watching, and we'll dive into it. We'll cover it wall to wall tomorrow morning. Same time, same place right here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.